Title: Snare Rush Fills Before Phrase Changes Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most classic drum and bass transition tricks ever, the snare rush fill. You know that rapid-fire snare roll that shows up right before a new section, like right before bar 9, bar 17, bar 33. It's basically your track shouting, yo, switch incoming. And the best part is, you can do it with totally stock Ableton tools, and even a super simple pattern will sound legit if the timing and energy are right. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a clean modern roller-style rush, a jungle-leaning variation with swing and ghosts, and a simple processing and automation setup you can reuse in any project. Let's set the context first so the fill actually fits. Set your tempo to somewhere in that DNB pocket, 170 to 176 BPM. I'll assume 174. Now make a basic two-step groove as your reference. Keep it simple. Kick on beat 1, kick on beat 3, snare on beat 2 and beat 4. Loop 8 bars. We're going to place our first fill right at the end of bar 8, because that's a super common phrase lead-in. And quick workflow tip, you can sketch this in session view fast, and once it feels good, drag it into arrangement. Next, choose the snare. A snare rush exposes your snare sound a lot. If the snare is weird, the fill will be weird. For a clean modern rush, pick a tight, punchy snare with a short tail. For a more jungle flavor, you can use something with a little noisy top or a crunchy ring, but we're still going to control the tail. Load a drum rack on a MIDI track, and drop your snare on a pad, like C1. Click that pad so you're looking at simpler. Set simpler to one shot. Turn warp off, because we want clean transient timing and no weird timing artifacts. Optional but recommended, filter out some lows. A high pass around 120 to 200 Hz is perfect, because we don't need rumble in a snare roll, especially right before a drop, where your sub is about to hit. Now here's a coach note that saves beginners immediately. If your snare sample rings out too long, fast rolls blur together. Instead of trying to fix it with heavy compression, just shorten the sample in simpler, pull down the decay, or shorten the one-shot length. Add a tiny fade-out if you hear clicks. This one move can make your rush sound twice as clean. Okay, now we build the rush. This is the core technique. Increase note density as you approach the phrase change. Create a 1-bar MIDI clip on your snare track and place it at bar 8, so it plays right before bar 9. We're going to do a classic acceleration. Beats 1 and 2, 8th notes. Beat 3, 16th notes. Beat 4, 32nd notes. In the MIDI editor, set your grid to 1/8 and draw the hits across beat 1 and beat 2. Then switch the grid to 1/16 and draw hits on beat 3. Then switch to 1/32 and draw hits across beat 4. If you want it a little less intense, you can shorten the fill, make it half a bar, or even just the last beat. In modern rollers, the one-beat rush is super common and often sounds more pro than a full bar of madness. Now, velocity. This is where beginner rushes either level up immediately or sound like a typewriter. Don't leave everything at full velocity. Your ear needs accents, like landmarks, even when the hits are fast. Here's the simplest accent logic that works almost every time. Keep a strong accent on the backbeat feeling. If it's a full bar, think accents on beat 2 and beat 4. If it's a short fill, at least accent the start of beat 4. Everything else should be slightly lower. So try this approach. Early hits, like the 8th notes, around 90 to 105. Mid hits in the 16ths, maybe 70 to 95. Then for the final 2 to 4 hits, ramp back up toward 110 to 127, so it feels like it's pushing into the next phrase. A great quick realism trick is microvariation, not randomness. For example, make every 4th hit a bit quieter, or make the last 3 hits a little louder and a little brighter. It stays tight, but feels performed. Now let's make it feel like DNB, timing-wise. If you want a tight modern roller rush, keep it on the grid. Let the energy come from velocity, filtering, and a tiny bit of saturation. If you want a more jungle or raw human vibe, add groove, but be careful. Swing on super fast, 30 seconds can get messy fast. Open the groove pool and try something like MPC 16 swing. Dart subtle, like 10 to 20%. Apply the groove to the fill clip only, not your whole drum groove. Rule of thumb, swing the slower part more than the fastest tail. Keep the 30-second run mostly straight so it doesn't flam all over the place. Now we'll control and thicken the sound with a simple stock processing chain. This is the make it punchy but not painful setup. On the snare track, or even better on the specific drum rack pad chain if you're comfortable, add. First, EQ 8. High pass around 120 to 200 Hz. If it sounds boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 500 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. If it needs presence, a wide boost around 3 to 7 kHz, just a couple dB. Second, drum bass. Keep drive modest, like 5 to 15%. Crunch is optional, like 0 to 10 if you want extra grit. Use damp to tame harsh highs if the roll starts to get spitty. And usually, keep boom off for snares in fast rolls. The roll is about attack and urgency, not low-end weight. Third, saturator. Try soft sine or analog clip. Drive somewhere around 1 to 4 dB. Turn on soft clip. This is huge for rushes because lots of hits stack up and create sharp peaks. Optional fourth, compressor. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so you don't kill the snap. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. You're not trying to smash it. Aim for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction just to smooth it a little. Now for the secret sauce. Automation. Because a snare rush is not just more notes, it's more energy. Here's a great beginner-friendly idea. Filter opening. Add auto-filter after your saturation. Set it to high pass or band pass, with a bit of resonance, like 10 to 25%. Then automate the filter frequency, so the rush starts slightly muffled and opens up toward the final hits. This creates that riser feeling without adding new instruments. And it's a great reminder of two-lane thinking. Timing lane is your note divisions. Energy lane is velocity, brightness, reverb send, distortion amount. If timing works, don't fix it by adding more notes. Automate energy instead. Second automation idea, the reverb throw. Instead of putting reverb directly on the snare track, put a reverb on a return track. Set decay around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, and high-pass the reverb, around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't muddy the mix. Then automate the send amount only on the last snare hit, or last two hits. That way you get a tail that bridges into the next phrase, but you don't smear the whole roll. Now arrangement placement, because this is where producers actually win with this trick. Most common places, end of bar 8 into bar 9, end of bar 16 into bar 17, end of bar 32 into the drop. And here's a real-world tip. If your drums are already busy with hats and rides, make the rush shorter. Use a 1-beat or half-bar rush, then let automation do the work. Even better, make room for it by removing, not adding. In the rush bar, mute one busy hat loop, or drop the ride for just that moment. The rush will feel louder and more important without you turning it up. Another slick transition trick. Right before the rush starts, shrink the drums for 1 beat. Low pass the drum bus briefly, or pull the drum bus down 1 to 2 dB. Then when the rush hits, it feels like a surge even if it's not actually louder. Optional, but very effective. Layering. If you want more impact, layer 2 snares. One tight layer for the transient, one noisier layer for texture. Keep the texture layer quiet and high-passed higher, like 300 to 800 Hz, so it supports without taking over. And keep the core transient centered. If you want width, do it with a reverb send or a high-frequency air layer, not by widening the main snare transient right before the drop. You want that drop to feel stable. Now, common mistakes to dodge. If every hit is full velocity, it will sound like a drill. Use accents and ramps. If the rush is too long, it gets cheesy fast. Try a shorter rush and stronger automation. If you put reverb on every hit, the timing smears and the fill loses punch. Use throws. Watch clipping. Rolls stack peaks. Soft clip on saturator is your friend, and you can always reduce gain before processing. And finally, don't fight your main snare. If your main snare is huge and roomy, consider using a different snare for the rush that's tighter and shorter, so it reads clearly. Let's do a mini practice exercise to lock it in. Make a 16-bar drum loop at 174 BPM with your two-step groove. At the end of bar 16, create 3 fill options. First, a 1-beat rush. Start that last beat with 16ths, then go to 30 seconds at the very end. Second, a half-bar rush with a clear velocity ramp and an auto-filter opening. Third, a jungle-style version. Use 16th note triplets on beat 4, and do a reverb throw on the last hit. Now do a quick reality check. Mute the bass. Do you still feel the transition coming? If yes, the fill is doing its job. Mute the hats. Does it still sound rhythmic, not like random machine gunning? Turn the fill down 3 dB. If it still works, you arranged it well. If it disappears, it was relying on loudness instead of design. Quick recap to finish. Snare rush fills are energy ramps that signal phrase changes in drum and bass and jungle. You build them by increasing note density, like 8ths to 16ths to 30 seconds, and you shape them with velocity, so they feel musical. Then you control and hype them using stock Ableton tools, EQ8, drum bus, saturator, auto filter automation, and a reverb throw on a return. Keep them tight, controlled, and placed strategically. Most of the time, the last beat or last two beats is all you need. If you tell me what subgenre you're aiming for, liquid, jump up, neuro, jungle, and whether your snare is tight, roomy, crispy, or cracky, I can suggest a specific fill pattern and a matching device chain that'll translate perfectly for that vibe.